Today's Holy Gospel, we see a vision of Jesus' most trusted apostles, two of his inner circle, James and John, brothers, called the sons of Zebedee, also known as the sons of thunder. And they ask Jesus about their place in his coming kingdom as very close followers of Jesus and as I said, members of his inner circle. They may have felt a right to request where these two sons of Zebedee would sit. So they asked Jesus, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." Well, Jesus had already promised thrones, although the disciples may have misconstrued the meaning, when he said that the 12 disciples would sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Those words are from Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. In those times, in royal courts, those who were chosen to sit at the right or at the left of the king were the most powerful people in the kingdom. James and John wanted to sit right beside Jesus Christ in his glory, the most honored places in the kingdom. And Jesus had taught them and all the apostles that they would indeed be a part of his kingdom. He would have a kingdom. And they learned because James and John saw Jesus glorified in a way that no one else had ever seen him at the Transfiguration. He glowed whiter than white, right alongside Moses and Elijah. Moses, the law, Elijah, the prophets, and the fulfillment of both stood right between them, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. Peter was there, and Jesus told them not to tell anyone, and they obeyed. They approached Jesus with this question as loyal subjects to their king. You see, it wouldn't be until after Jesus' death and resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that they fully understood that Jesus' kingdom was not of this world. It was not centered around palaces and earthly thrones, but in the hearts and lives of those who believe in him. James and John asked Jesus to give them special positions in his kingdom. After all, they were part of his inner circle. It's very natural for people to want to do well, rewarded with honors and promotions. We're all there, right? It's always good to get a pat on the head and a bump in the paycheck, right? We all love that. But it can be a problem if you lose sight of God's specific will. God may have had different works in mind that might not be as glorious, but surely just as important. And Jesus answered them this way. He said, as you heard in today's Holy Gospel, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. And Jesus' response to James and John is that in making such a self-centered request, they did not know what it was that they were asking. Asking for positions of highest honor meant also to ask for deep suffering. There was no way they could have one without the other. That's hard for us to understand. Jesus had been teaching them all along about glory through suffering. We heard words this morning that Ron read from Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant. "He was bruised for our transgressions and our iniquities, crushed." Wow. Jesus asked if they were able to drink the cup that he would drink. Well, you know me, I had to go back to the Greek. The Greek indicates that this is an event that hasn't happened yet, but is so absolutely certain to happen that it can be spoken of as already happening. The cup to which Jesus referred is the same cup that he would ask the Father to pass from him in the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives on the night that he was arrested. As a matter of fact, shortly after he prayed that was he arrested. It's the cup of suffering that he would have to drink in order to bring salvation to you and me, to sinners. And along with it, he was going to suffer and endure horrible, physical pain. And he'd also, this is not a lot of people think about this, he would also bear the wrath of God's punishment for sin, causing him to be abandoned by the Father for just a brief period of time. I often think of the movie that Mel Gibson made, The Passion of the Christ. And when Jesus gave up his spirit, a teardrop fell from heaven. Huge teardrop, at least that was the image that was shown. That here, God the Father was saddened by what had to happen, but was joyful about what was coming. You see, in order to have Easter Sunday, you've got to have Good Friday. A lot of people don't recognize that. And we look at Good Friday of a day of atonement, a day of sadness, but also the knowledge that Jesus didn't stay in the grave long. And there are other leaders in the world, Muhammad and Buddha and so on. They're all in their graves, but Jesus isn't. He walked out on the third day. My goodness. Again, I want to draw you back to Isaiah 53, verses 10 to 12. Isaiah foretold about the Messiah, and it's clear for us to see who that Messiah is, the suffering servant. This is the last part of verse 12. Because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. You can see that he spoke of Jesus. God the Father gave us, through his Son, the priceless gift of salvation. And it's absolutely free. There's no strings attached. Just three nails. Paid for by Christ. But being a Christian, a follower of Jesus, isn't painless or easy. That doesn't mean we have a stress-free life. Our everyday lives test our commitment to Jesus Christ. Even our loved ones will face their own challenges in following him. But we need to be, just like Barnabas, encouraging one another. That guy named Barnabas, Bar meaning son of, Nabas meaning encouragement, Joseph Barnabas. Instead of wondering who will be the greatest in the kingdom, we should be lifting each other up, holding each other up when we fall down. Jesus told them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." James and John said they were willing to drink the cup to face any trial for Jesus. Each of these beloved friends of Jesus would indeed drink from the cup, but in different ways. James died a martyr. Herod ordered for him to be put to death by the sword. You can look it up in Acts chapter 12, verse 2. John lived through many years of persecution, including surviving, as is told by tradition and writings, being boiled in hot oil. And he lived through it. He walked away unscathed, being forced thereby by the emperor to go and live in exile on the island of Patmos. And it's thought that he died of old age in Ephesus. Although Jesus knew these two disciples very well, he also knew that they were going to face great suffering. And this still did not mean that he was going to grant their request for this honor. Suffering is the price of greatness, but it's also the price required to follow Jesus Christ. They would follow and they would suffer, but that alone would not allow them to sit at the right or the left-hand side in the kingdom of God. As Jesus said, he would not make that decision. Those places of honor were reserved for, as he said, those for whom has been prepared. That was done by God the Father. By Jesus saying that God already knew who would gain these places of honor, he revealed to us part of the character of Almighty God, that he knows all things. Jesus' words indicate to us that he's going to distribute eternal rewards according to the Father's decisions. Now, in this statement, Jesus reveals that he was under the authority of the Father, who alone makes the decisions about leadership in heaven. Such rewards are not granted as favors or an attaboy. They're reserved for those whom God selects. Those words that Jesus spoke when he said, "No one knows the hour of the day except the Father." That tells you clearly who's driving the bus, God the Father. I find it ironic that these two sons of thunder, who faithfully asked to be on either side of Jesus, would see two others take places at the right and the left of our Lord Jesus Christ while he hung on the cross at Calvary. Matthew 27, verse 38 tells us that two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Transgressors. And Jesus came to save the transgressors. One mocked and ridiculed Jesus, but the other, he asked to be remembered in your kingdom when you're in paradise. And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." He didn't mock James and John for asking, but he also did deny their request, for he knew what was best for them. Instead, he lovingly guided them back to focus on serving with humility. The gospel says Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." That word that I pray when I walk down the aisle during the comfortable words after you receive absolution, the propitiation, that's the payment. That's the payment. He paid our bill. The one we're still ringing up and asking for forgiveness. Whenever we get off track, we've been called to take. Jesus reminds us to heart, to hear his words, and that just as we need to always put him first, that he put us first and gave of himself his very own life for us. Now, from all of this, I can draw it together and make a conclusion that we can feel free to ask God for anything. Jesus told us that. God wants to give us what's best for us, not merely what we want. And we need to keep in mind that his answer may not be yes, or it may be not now, but it's always what's best for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.